Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Hello, gang. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Sports Talk. We've got a somewhat abbreviated program the rest of the way home. Oh, it doesn't impact the 4 o'clock hour. But we're out at 5:30 tonight because we have Oregon basketball. Local basketball. They're in Tempe. At Wells Fargo Arena. I'll tell you what, I've rarely seen a conference or a program, I should say, so focused on selling the place out. Our buddy who's been on the program many times, former Arizona State player Kyle Dodd, you know, you see him on Twitter in the athletic department. Bobby Hurley doing videos basically like, this is really big. Could we please sell out Wells Fargo? And, you know, I don't know what their attendance is usually. I mean, when you think of this conference and basketball success, you're obviously going to start with UCLA. Then you're going to morph into Arizona. You know, Stanford has been to a Final Four. Oregon has been to a Final Four. I'm talking more recent history, naturally. But, you know, this is a program that has had, I want to say moments, but they really haven't had many, you know, since the field expanded the year that Villanova upset Georgetown. The Eddie Pinckney team and the Patrick Ewing team in 85. That's when the field went from 48 to 64, and we became more accustomed with the brackets we take for granted. Once since then have they made it as far as the Sweet 16. That was 1995 when Bill Frieder was coach, and they had Mario Bennett. I don't know how well you remember that team, but otherwise, they've won a tournament game. They won in 2003, one game and out under Rob Evans. Then they won. You know, I always have to, because the NCAA screwed around. Yeah, so remember, they used to count the first four as the first round. So there was about a four-year period where you'll see, if you go to the reference page, that they lost in the second round. No, they lost in the first round. And they lost in the first round last year. They lost in the first four. So since a Sweet 16 run 26 years ago, they've won, I think, one NCAA tournament game. So this is really, really big stuff. Really, really, really big stuff. We know they're a good team. No question about it. And they're warm. They lost to Colorado and Oregon back-to-back. Since then, they've got one loss by 2 points at Washington State. Otherwise, they beat Utah. They knocked off Arizona. And by the way, this team is nail-biter Jones. They lost to Arizona. They beat Arizona by one. They lost to Washington State by two. They won at Washington by three. They beat USC by two. They beat Stanford by five. And they beat Cal by five. So chances are tonight somebody's going to be walking up the floor with possession, probably down three, and a chance to tie.
He said they're warm. It's only 79 right now in Tempe, which seems really hot for mid-February.
For
yeah, if it were that hot in Eugene, I think we would say, hey, there's kind of a problem going on. But I think for the desert, it's pretty moderate. It's going to rain on Saturday anyway, so...
Down there?
Yeah, is it really
going
to...
Did you actually go get the Tempe weather?
You Google Tempe weather.
I've done that before. Okay, yeah. As a matter of fact, I have fallen into the trap now where I have my microphone Google on my phone. I am now playing a game if we're watching a movie, and I'm like, where do I know that guy from? And figure it out. I know him from, we saw Deep Water. It's a British.
Deep Water Horizon?
No. It's a four-episode series, pretty dramatic, and I'm looking, it's driving me nuts, because I only knew the guy, you know, it's different if you see a familiar face, and it's like, I knew him from that movie, and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and it's like, so you get it narrowed down, it's like, ugh, Kathy, this is driving me crazy. I got it!
George Clooney.
He was the band manager in Almost Famous. And he was British in there, and he was in this one, and it's a whole mystery, and it was really clever, really well done. It was British, which means it was probably smarter than me. But and now it's like, IMDb, Almost Famous, click, that's him, whoop. All right, this Arizona State team, obviously Remy Martin is one. In the conversation with Peyton Pritchard and a handful of others, maybe just a couple of others, for Pac-12 Player of the Year. So, you know, if you remember the last time they played here, they had come off an awful performance. They had gone into the McHale Center and had their worst loss of the Hurley era. It made Bobby want a Hurley. They lost by 28 points. And then I take that back. It was their worst conference loss under Hurley, because they had one of those doo-doo the bed games earlier. They played St. Mary's and lost 96-56. That's pretty bad. But that's where we're at. And that game, we'll have the pregame at 5:30. And then, obviously, the call of the game with Joey Mack. And if you're looking for it, it's on ESPN, which once I put the sound up and my wife hears the broadcast crew, I'll be banished to the spare room.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
Exactly.
Although the last time I was able to listen to a game that Bill called, it was actually the Oregon-Arizona game at Matt Knight, and Bill Walton was, I turned on the TV when I got home, and he was elbow deep into a jar of peanut butter wearing an Oregon football helmet, and he was on one. He called overtime when Oregon, I think, had a lead at one point, and he predicted the game would go to overtime. There was about 12 minutes left in the game.
Oh, really?
I had no idea how he did that. I don't think he'd ever be able to do it again, really. Nice. Bill Walton, probably good.
Walton has, I mean, among the, let's say, over X amount of years he's been doing these games, if he's made 13,400 comments, 13,387 have been insane.
Yes.
None more insane than last year. He was doing a game late in the regular season, and the play-by-play man, whoever it were, be it poor Roxy Bernstein or Dave Pasch, were talking about how many conference Pac-12 teams should be in. He goes, I think they should let them all in.
Yeah.
And there was a 1-2-3 count of, that was even criminally insane for you. Just like we were talking about in the first hour, there's like 352 teams eligible. Just, you know, start the tournament in November and let them all in.
Boy, can you imagine March Madness? That's 3 months long.
November Madness. You'd have to come with November nuttiness, December, just on and on and on to find a cute little catchphrase.
So, okay, November nuttiness is good. December decadence? Because I think at that point you're getting into kind of the craziness is kind of
January jumping Jehoshaphats.
Probably. probably something a little shorter for January.
February Fever?
Oh, wow, that's really good. And then March Madness.
There
yeah,
you go.
Perfect. So we just got to work on January.
January is, that was a weak one. I was desperate, and I triple J'd it. So.
Jam in January. Jamming like a dunk.
I get you. I didn't think you were trying to make jelly. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. So, a couple of you, when we mentioned it briefly, I know we were going to break, and then we got Fentress on, then we did the lightning round, said, where do the bracketologists have the Ducks right now? So Lunardi has five league teams in. 3-5 seeds, Colorado, Oregon, Arizona, and Arizona State is in right now as an 11. And USC in 11, but they are not just the traditional 11 seed. They would be in the play-in game in Dayton. Now, as far as CBS, our network, and Jerry Palm, he has Stanford in a play-in game as one of the last four in, playing Wichita State for the right to enter the dance as a 12 seed. He's got Arizona State in as a 10 in the Midwest, USC in as a 7 in the West, Colorado a 5 in the East, Arizona a 6 in the Midwest, and Oregon is a top four seed staying in the West, so he's got half the league in. So this week, yesterday, Cal at Wazoo, Washington State under a new coach, Kyle Smith, a longtime assistant at St. Mary's, did 7 years in the Ivy League. I don't know if did 7 years. It's not like he was in prison. Every time I think about prison and the Ivy League, this is a crazy connection. So when Mike Tyson went to jail for rape, he came out and got right back into a partnership with Don King. And so Lou Duva, who I think is retired now, he was a promoter up there. It used to be like King, Duva, Top Rank, Bob Arum. And somebody asked him, and Duva said, and mockingly noting that Tyson got back in with a guy he thinks cheated him, he said, by the way, to clarify, he went to prison for 3 years, not Princeton. But anyway, year one, they're now 5-9, 14-12 overall. I mean, the last time the Cougars won more games than that over the course of an entire season was Ken Bone back in 2012. And the five conference wins were topped by former Duck coach Ernie Kent back in 2015. So the game was important for them to just keep moving forward, presenting reasons for optimism. And then, of course, we come to tonight. Oregon, Arizona State, USC, Colorado. Marquee matchups. You got two contenders in each game. And like I mentioned, we've got the action on the tube. It's ESPN proper. And at the same time, by the way, ESPN2 has USC and Colorado. So this is a really big night for the Pac-12. While, you know, very often you hear, well, the people back east won't be paying attention. Oh, they sure as hell will tonight. Because everybody who covers college basketball, first of all, up and down the megalopolis from D.C. to Boston, it's only a 9 o'clock start. And it's ESPN and ESPN2. So, good opportunity, especially the winners are going to really have an opportunity to resonate with those who cover and pay extra close attention to college basketball. Then the Pac-12 network, by the way, at 5 o'clock tonight, Oregon State is looking to make a big splash. I mean, you could say do or die, I guess. They're at the McHale Center. I mean, a win gets them to within two games of 500, 16-10. And if you're going to root for a team, why not be the eternal optimist and think about, you know, winning out, ending up 21-10, 10-8 in conference? I guess you could kind of get yourself off the bubble. Where did I say OSU was? Yeah, they're 75th in the net ranking. So if they catch fire, especially if they were to win at McHale, that would be rather large But if they lose this, it's basically you're down to win the league tournament, or, you know, you ain't dancing. So there you have it. Elsewhere, you've got UCLA at Utah. The Bruins, like I mentioned, they're barely, oh no, they're not, they're 101st in the net. They're at Utah. Road wins help. That would get them to 9-5 in league, 16 wins. Stanford, who I mentioned earlier, they're ranked ahead of USC and Arizona State in the net in the top 40 because of some good wins, but they're sub 500 in league. So they've got to win. And good break if you're a Cardinal fan. They're playing at the Wheel Wobblers, Washington. That's a Pac-12 network game. And, yeah, Washington right now. Where were them thar doggies when the season started? And obviously losing their point guard has destroyed them. But I think if I remember, Washington, when the season started, preseason, the Pac-12 media had Oregon and Colorado kind of as co-favorites. Each got 9 first-place votes. Washington got 6. Then they lost Quad A Green, and now they got 2 conference wins. So, in essence, the Huskies have done all they can the last few weeks to assure themselves of last place in the Pac-12. They actually, if you do the math, if they lose this, they could pass out the hats. 12th in the Pac-12. And please leave the tags on. Could you imagine in the locker room, they're sitting there like all dejected. Mike Hopkins is like, I told you guys if you finish last, I'm having hats and shirts made, and you're going to friggin' wear them, and we're going to allow the Pac-12 cameras in here.
The coach is doing it.
Yep.
This isn't for some spite. Sick joke from Larry Scott, like his last act as he get fired. He's very secretly ordered last place champions of the Pac-12 yep. t-shirts to be made. No, it's the coach who wanted to shame his players that they had such a bad year that he had these shirts
yeah.
made.
Or even better yet, they go on a tear, end up in 11th, and those 12th in the Pac-12 end up on some remote island like the losing Super Bowl team gear that, you know, they were all ready to hand out, so they send it to some third world country, and then they end up wearing it and ended up on like CNN or something like that. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. That may, of all the things I've ever said in my life, that might be the most sarcastic thing I've ever done. Passing out hats and t-shirts for finishing last. But no champagne. You get like flat soda champagne that doesn't pop. Just it kind of dribbles out.
It's
skunky. It smells
they're
bad.
They're college kids, so it's definitely like apple cider that's been opened.
So gross.
It with nothing. No
what
food
is it, the
or
Martindale
drink.
Or something like that?
Martinelli's.
Martinelli's.
Yeah, none of it was kept in a fridge, so it's all warm.
That's gross.
There's no what there. The coach is just
drink
like,
it.
I took, no, oh, the Gatorade in the water that's cold, it's not here. So you've got, if you want to drink anything, you got to have at least 3 glasses of warm Martinelli's before you can move on to the water.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So we've got, is that the NHL Network on? No, it's NBCSN, Kyrie, and the who's that Caps and Habs?
Canadien de Montreal.
Les Habitants. So Ovechkin at 7:32 of the first period. That is career goal number 699, as he looks to be the 8th player ever with 700 or 7th, something in there. It's a milestone. And when you talk about points in basketball and goals and home runs, when you're in the top 10, you know, some people say it's compiling. You want to know, some top 30 is compiling. Top 10, you're awesome. And Ovi is maybe a top 5 goal scorer of all time for a pure sniper point of view.
He's done one thing in his career 700 times, and he's very good at it. Yeah, he's one of the best ever. It's really incredible.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Should you want to participate in our festivities, you could also hit us up on the text line, 321-0824. You could also try us on Twitter at 953thescore for the station. For me, it's at SportsTalk 953. For Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. Some of the other things happening. I wanted to get to David Ortiz calling out Mike Fiers as a whistleblower. It's like, I'm not sure who's responsible for the old saying, best to sit in silence and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. And, oh, yeah, a couple of you texted. I forgot to mention, oh, probably big news for Oregon basketball, as Satu Sabali has announced this is it. She's leaving for the WNBA at the end of this year's run. And, you know, it's weird. I don't know if it's weird, but I think from who I've spoken with, until the Final Four hit last year when Oregon had beaten Mississippi State at MOTA to qualify for Tampa, I was unaware that the WNBA took early entries. I thought you had to play 4 years. It turned out it was an age thing. And so we learned that, you know, Sabrina was pondering leaving school. Turned out, knock on wood, she didn't. But Satu has decided, and she sat down with the sports siren, Holly Rowe. There's an interview on ESPN. We tweeted it out and offered her explanation. So that is a matter of fact. That's not even speculation. We mentioned it a little bit yesterday. And we'll get to that for sure. For sure, I wanted to talk about the Chris Bosh, who is very disappointed he didn't get in as a NBA Basketball Hall of Fame finalist. I think you could make a case that the cherry picking of statistics that they did in his favor with the comparisons, it was like, I see where you're going with this. Oh, it doesn't make a lot of sense. That would be a no sale. All right. By the way, speaking of an actual sale, 95.3 The Score gives you the world's largest indoor garage sale. We're talking March 28th, the last Saturday in March, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the Lane County Fairgrounds. Whether you want to use this as an opportunity to clean some stuff out, do a little spring cleaning, you can grab your spot now. Booth space begins at $65 for a 10x10 spot. You need to contact the KUJZ front desk and reserve your space now. Admission's just $2. It's the world's largest indoor garage sale, March 28th at the Lane County Fairgrounds, from KUJZ 95.3 The Score. All right, let's take a break, come back, we'll have an update. And yeah, I want to talk a little bit about this decision by Satu to become a pro next year, meaning the big three is kind of New Orleans or bust at this point. So we'll be back with more Sports Talk 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
The reaction oftentimes when I talk about Tom Brady leaving New England, he's not leaving New England because people can't wrap their head around the idea of New England. It's time to wrap our heads around the idea of Tom Brady leaving New England because it is a very real, very real possibility.
I've been
here
saying that for a while.
It's more likely than not that Tom Brady leaves the Patriots.
Ah! So should somebody start the photoshopping of Brady in a bunch of different uniforms just to have folks get used to it? And I don't really want to start the conversation of the weirdest looking superstar in another uniform, but to me it was always Ewing in a Seattle uniform and with a single digit number. It was like, okay, it's like when the TV would come on occasionally when the Sonics would be like, I can't even look at it. I can't live like this. I don't want to live like this. All right, 284-8571. The Oregon fuel injection.
What would be the weirdest jersey for Brady to put on? Like, I think, like, actually, like, seeing Tom Brady, like, in a different jersey would be weird. It's going to be weird enough.
Right,
but, like,
right,
what
right.
If
no, that's a good question.
What if he goes to a team that has the number 12 retired, or for some reason the backup quarterback is number 12? Yeah, he's got to wear a different number. Like, what would he do?
TVs will break.
Probably.
It's like that Inside Edition episode on Seinfeld when Kramer heard Mary Hart's voice, he would have a seizure. It's like there are certain uniforms I think if Brady put on, how weird would he look in a Dolphin uniform?
Well, that yeah, right? Like not
oh
only
my
that, but
God.
He has to play the Patriots twice next year. Like he would have to do that in that weird like aquamarine or whatever
yeah,
they're
I'm
calling it.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture weird
in like
colors.
A number 13 or something. Like it would just all be so strange. But I think the first time in thinking back on it, the first time I realized that Tom Brady might leave is when Mohamed Sanu was traded from Atlanta to New England. Tom Brady reportedly offered Sanu the number 12. Could Sanu had worn
really?
That like his entire yeah? He's
That's
like, hey,
right.
He's like, hey man, if you want 12, you can have it. And Sanu was like, dude, you're Tom bleeping Brady. You get the number 12. I'll find the new number, man. It, like that's okay.
I'll tell you what, he winds up on this team. And where's that uniform? They're going to change the mascot to the freak shows. Imagine Brady wearing a Lions uniform.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
My head would explode.
That'd be weird.
My head would absolutely freaking explode.
Tampa Bay has some very gross uniforms.
The Creamsicle 12 with Tom Brady. Oh, my God.
The Creamsicle jerseys I'll give a pass because they are better than what the Bucks are wearing now. But they're gross. They're bad. They're bad jerseys that Tampa Bay has now. Like, I'm trying to think if he ended up, like, in Houston with the Texans, which would be weird because they have Deshaun Watson, at least he'd be wearing, like, navy blue. And you could be like, okay, he's wearing the same colors. That's all right. But, you know, if he went to Chicago, they have blue jerseys. That'd kind of be okay.
By the way, somebody did text and said Brady did go to Michigan. So, I'll tell you what would look like it actually would fit. I don't know why, and it would just be another reason to root against them. For some reason, I see Brady in a Cowboys uniform. I mean, I know from an NFL fan it's nauseating, but it wouldn't set off the aneurysm alarm in my head. Maybe the Vikings.
Oh, Tom Brady would not look good in purple. He just would not look good in that color.
How about avocado?
Avocado green, like the New York Jets. Maybe he goes there.
The Giants. I gave up on Danny Dimes already. We're bringing in Brady.
See, that would be those color schemes are exactly the same. It's just red, white, and blue. Like, he would just...
Oh, yeah.
It's a lighter shade of blue with the Giants.
Yeah.
Could you imagine you having to watch Giants games rooting for Tom Brady?
I could do that. I'm already on board. That just that didn't take much convincing at all. So I was playing this game earlier with Fentress.
Cincinnati would also
does
be
does anybody
horrible.
Look normal or right in the Cincinnati
Randy
they,
Dalton
they put stripes on you
Randy Dalton only because his hair matched the uniform. It was both orange.
Yeah, the red
That's
rifle.
It. That's it, man.
That's it. So there you go. Boomer looked good in Cincinnati because he had the flowing blonde hair, and that off-white beige goes with a lot of things.
Yeah,
that's why you get a lot of room colors painted beige. So I was looking at this list of free agent quarterbacks, and then, like I said, I saw the interview with Jeff Darlington, who said Brady might go elsewhere next year. We got Breeze back in New Orleans. So... I'm pretty sure the Bengals are going to take Joe Burrow. So I'll throw this in. Here's the list. You could draft Tua or Herbert. Then I'll throw out four names. So if you went franchise by franchise, and I said you can draft Herbert, you can draft Tua, or you could sign Rivers, Mariota, Bridgewater or Tannehill, or keep your guy. I think that might be a fun game. We'll play that in a little bit. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Well, since two of those guys you listed are my guy, I don't really know what I do in that situation. I wanted to chime in about the whole expanding the playoff thing to 14 teams.
Yeah.
I'm back and forth on the fence about it. Like, I think 14 teams is kind of too much, but at the same time, I've always been a huge advocate for, in every sport, making it so that the top so many teams get in, and it's not just the division winners don't automatically get in. Because, I mean, let's face it, the AFC East last year, for example, nobody in that division deserved to get in. And when they do, they're taking the place of somebody else who is more deserving. So if they're not going to rectify that, then the 14-team scenario would get the deserving teams in.
Right. I see what you mean there.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that with any sport, I don't know. I mean, especially in the NBA, the last few years, a couple years aside with Milwaukee and everything, but typically in the past, the West has been so dominant that there's so many Western Conference teams with winning records that weren't getting in when you had the 6, 7, and 8 seed in the East with losing records getting in. So I just think, I think it's all sports. The divisions have to be thrown out the door.
Well, if they just keep adding more and more teams and, you get into a bad cycle where there's always an 8-8 or 7-9 team in, then I think you're kind of defeating your purpose, because if you want more teams in, you want better teams in.
Yeah. Well, the other scenario with the 14-team thing that does make it kind of cool is that they're saying that only one team would get a bye then. So to have the best record in your conference is all that more important for any team in the league. And so I think that the parity of that makes it a little more exciting.
No, I agree with that. Good. Appreciate the call, Josh. All right, take it easy. Somebody, if Brady really wants to prove he's the GOAT, he goes to the Browns and leads them to a championship. Somebody said, imagine if Brady went to the Giants and then they beat the Patriots again.
Oh, that would be tough, because he would have everybody split on, thank God the Patriots finally lost, and I can't imagine having to watch Tom Brady win again. Like, that divide in America would be horrible.
One important question here. Average fan, when you consider who they would dislike the most, dislike Belichick more or dislike Brady more? I think it's more the hoodie.
It is kind of the two of them together with the team. I dislike the idea of the team, because it's the Belichick way, right? He's the head coach who drives the culture, and the culture's face is Tom Brady.
Right.
If you take the face away from the culture, what's left behind is the even scarier face of Bill Belichick.
Well, how about this? The decision to let Brady go, Belichick mumbling in front of the microphone, really thank Tom. And so somebody just says, I think he said they don't think they could win with him anymore. And then he ends up on the Giants. And by the way, this is a fantasy. I don't think the Giants are Tom Brady away from being a Super Bowl team.
Might be.
But just in the movie, he wins the Super Bowl with two late fourth quarter drives, a touchdown, an onside kick, and a touchdown. The handshake at midfield between Brady and Belichick. Justin.
Those two mic'd up. You would need to have every single person that's running out there with a camera to get the iconic photo or the video. They need to have microphones too. You need to have those guys that have the big bubbles. They need to be like attached to like drones
the
carrying them around to get the sound. Like, you would have to hear those words. They would need to be heard, because would he congratulate him? Would he MF him? Would he be like, you're the worst? I can't believe you would do this. I'm on to Cincinnati. Would there even be a handshake? Who knows?
By the way, the best thing that could happen is if Belichick said, we're on to Cincinnati. It's like, you're not even playing the Bengals this year. You just don't want to answer the question.
I think the funniest thing for Belichick to say is Tom Brady's 44 years old. I've been a head coach in the NFL for 3 years at that point. The guy's got to go. The guy's almost been here as long as I've been in the NFL. It's just, he can't play anymore. He's got to go.
Just anything but ABT, anything but Tom. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So I said, I'm taking Joe Burrow off the table. I'm pretty sure he goes one to the Bungles. So this is your option. You could draft Well, you draft any quarterback you want. I'm assuming the top two after that are Herbert and Tua. Or you can sign Phillip Rivers, Marcus Mariota, Teddy Bridgewater, or Ryan Tannehill. Or you can stick with one of the quarterbacks on your roster for next year. So let's start with the Dolphins. They've got Fitzmagic, Josh Rosen. So if you're the GM, would you sign one of the free agents? And remember, they've got three draft picks. So they go 6, I think, 18, or way later. And remember, we talked about it earlier this week. Their defense is horrible. Their offensive line isn't very good. They had nobody rush for more than like 8 yards all last year. I think Fitzpatrick had the highest yards per carry. So
he was also the team's leading rusher.
That also, like, and by the way, like 246 yards, something gloomy like that. So if I were the GM, I would, with the first pick, go some great lineman. It's like, you got to start building inside out because you're just bad. You get your ass kicked inside. Then if you're at 18, are you like, is Herbert still available? Because I'm not a Tua guy, so I'm never going to pick him in the first round. So I'm throwing this out there for rational people, unlike me. I think I might, because I'm not in love and you've got so many holes to fill, I'd be like, I think I'm going to just see what Rosen's got and just one way or another find out. You're not quite on board with that?
No, thank you. No more Josh Rosen, please. I think he's done enough. For a guy to get shipped out for Kyler Murray and then to lose your job to Ryan Fitzmagic,
Everybody loses their job to Fitzpatrick.
That is also a fair point, but to not show any promise, because I think he got another shot to, like, he got thrown into a game late and then he was so bad they had to bring Fitzmagic back in. No, thank you. See, I think because the Dolphins have all of that draft capital, they should go in and their quarterback should be the guy that they sign. Because if you can sign a quarterback to a kind of a short-term, a pretty affordable deal, you throw money at like a Bridgewater, a Rivers, a Marcus Mariota, somebody that you know, hey, we can say 3 years, we'll be fine, let's see what we got here. You trade away Rosen to somebody else for some seventh rounder. You clear out the quarterback room a little bit, bring in a veteran presence, and then you load up in the draft with a bunch of guys to plug on defense all over the place. And then if that doesn't work, your fallback plan is Trevor Lawrence next year. And then that's you get to think about that.
That's a big fallback.
Oh, he's a tall guy.
All right. Before we take a break, I'm going to give you a chance to win a $10 gift card from our friends at Big Al State Farm on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart. Big Al, ask the question, are you packing the proper protection for your family? Because he and his team will take an in-depth look at all of your insurance needs. He knows how you can be properly protected from consequences that can occur when you don't have the proper coverage. So call 686-1522. Stop by their office on Cal Young and Eugene next to Dairy Mart. Go online, BigAlEugene.com. And like we did now, almost 8 years ago, compare and save. So I'm going to ask you a trivia question. Don't call. Text 321-0824. And if you haven't won in the last 30 days, if you're first with the answer, I will direct you to go pick up your $10 gift card at Big Al's. So we're talking about Brady, whose last year at Michigan was 1999 when they won a wild Orange Bowl 35-34 over Alabama on a missed extra point. So Brady that year threw for 2,200 yards, 16 touchdowns. But there was another quarterback who saw action over the course of the year who later spent, I want to say, an exaggerated cup of coffee in the NFL. So who was QB2 on the 99 Michigan team, Brady's senior year? 321-0824. Again, 321-0824. We'll break. We'll be back. We'll wrap up the 4 o'clock hour. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
These are two undefeated power punchers in the absolute prime of their careers. This is the best versus the best. This is as good as it can get. So to me, you have to go back to Bo Holyfield. You have to go back to the rematch of Lennox Lewis and Holyfield. By the way, coming off of a controversial draw back then, this is only the third time in the history of the sport that we've had a heavyweight championship fight with a rematch coming off of a draw.
And that's Joe Tessitore. Who I find quite annoying, I might add.
What?
I'm not usually banging on announcers. He, sometimes it's enough already. Relax, we get it. But,
What's wrong with a guy just having some fun calling a football game every
night? He's not having fun. He's over the top. He's Brent Musburger in a really bad period.
But I think he is having fun. I mean, I think it is a little too much when you're trying to hype up Monday Night Football of week one of the NFL season, and it's kind of hard for Monday Night Football games to feel like they have major importance in anything going on, but he's got a good voice. He gets excited in the right moments.
I'd like to bend him into tiny little squares.
That's, I think, very rude.
Oh, by the way, let me get to the trivia question, which I never answered yesterday until like an hour and a half later. So no, it's not Brian Greasy. No, it's not Chad Henne. It's not some names that you guys were obviously making up. The second quarterback on the roster with Tom Brady on the 99 Orange Bowl champion Michigan Wolverines was Drew Henson, who was 46 of 89, three touchdowns, two interceptions, would then move on to the NFL-ish as a late pick. Of the Houston Texans, and he spent about an hour and 45 minutes with the Cowboys, then an hour and a half with Detroit, throwing a total of 20 passes. So there's the answer, your Big Al State Farm trivia question. Well done, winners have been notified. So we're talking about our game where you pick a particular NFL franchise. And I give you the option. You could draft Tua or Herbert, pick among four free agent quarterbacks, and I'm deciding the list. Phillip Rivers, Marcus Mariota, Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Tannehill, or keep your guy. How about Carolina? They lost Cam Newton for the season. I didn't realize he has no guaranteed money left on his contract. So does the team consider re-upping him and seeing what he's got left in the tank? Like I said, no guaranteed money. There's options. Or at number seven, go quarterback. Or have they decided the Cam Newton era, which, by the way, started in 2011. We're getting into two. It's not like, you know, he won a Super Bowl, went to a Super Bowl, won an MVP. But all of a sudden, that's 2015. And remember, there was a point where, because of how often he ran and got hit, the hits he had taken, I think at the time, over a three-year period, weren't just the most among quarterbacks. It was double whoever was in second. But, you know, not playing. Cutting down. That's interesting. I don't know if I was them, I'd be ready to give up on him, especially to sign a free agent that another franchise has already given up on. Or at seven, you know, you're obviously, if you pick either of those other two quarterbacks, you're not telling your fans that you think you're going to make the playoffs.
I mean, there was a couple week stretch where Christian McCaffrey was back into MVP conversations because of the year he was having. And that was with teams basically saying, okay, whatever dude you've got that back there.
Kyle Allen.
Yeah, Kyle, Josh, George Allen, whatever his name is, trying to throw passes. We're not going to respect him, so we know we're going to try and stop Christian McCaffrey here. Didn't even a thousand season, or he got very close to 1,000,
yeah,
something like that. So if you add Cam Newton, who is an actual passing threat back there, assuming he's healthy, you know, rehabbed his shoulder last year, able to fix his foot injury, I think you can give him a shot of 1 year with Joe Brady, a Matt Rule offense. You can kind of see what's going on out there. And yeah, give Cam Newton one more shot and use that pick at 16 or what
is 7.
It? 7. You can get a really good receiver at 7 to go along with some of the guys that they've got.
Or fill a need.
Or offensive line or something like that. But you could get a really good weapon at 7.
Yeah. And by the way, yes. In the last game, remember, he got that. They kept him in. He got that catch and went for 1,005 yards receiving. Yep. By the way, 116 catches and 287 rushes.
Well,
that's 403 touches.
Yeah, he was all over the place. He
joined Roger Craig, the only 1,000 guy in the same season. How about the... Wait, first of all, give me a moment to get used to this. The Las Vegas Raiders. Derek Carr is under contract. But he's due $20 million, but if they get rid of him or trade him by June 1st, the cap hit or dead money is just $2.5 million. And if you were listening to Tiki Barber today, the new cap number for next year is about $200 million. So the fact that he's 2-10 career in division games, do you want to hit a new city and venue with a guy that some use the term he's topped out, or re-up him? Would you just, they're not going to go into a new season in a division with one team that's worthwhile with a young quarterback, Tua or Herbert. I don't know how much sense that makes, but they do go 12th.
Tua would make sense of a quarterback that they draft because he's coming in with the biggest college brand out there. Like, he's a guy in Vegas where it'd be like, wow, Tua's our quarterback for the Vegas Raiders. Like, I'm all in. Like, I got to buy these tickets before all the road fans do because we want to make sure that, you know, the Raiders have some semblance of having home field advantage there. But I think Mark Davis wants a big name. I think they're gonna throw some money at a quarterback because Derek Carr's fine.
Rivers? Or is
fine?
He East Coast bound?
I don't know if Rivers is a big enough name.
Bridgewater?
I think they might be one of the dumb teams that throws a lot of money at Brady. Yeah, because Mark wants to make a splash, man. Like, I think that's what he wants to do going into this new stadium.
The worry is, would Todd Marinovich give up his number 12 for TB12? All right, remember, we're on somewhat of an abbreviated 5 o'clock leash, if that's actually a thing, because at 5:30, we're going to throw it to Tempe for the rather sizable matchup in the Pac-12 tonight. On our station, we'll have all the coverage, and if you're looking for it on the tube, it is ESPN proper, Oregon and Arizona State. So we got more coming. A half of 5 o'clock hour is next. 95.3 The Score.
What are we talking about, Sip?